This is Shirley Bradley and Bill Myers, and we're at the Orioles Transportation Museum. This is June the 24th, 2004. I don't think that's right. And we're just going to talk about real memories. And I'm going to start by asking Mr. Meyer just a little bit about himself. Where did he grow up and where did he go to school? And
I grew up in Battle Creek. I graduated from Lincoln High School outside of Battle Creek. I went to work for Oliver Corporation in 1948. I graduated in 47. And I worked for the engineering department. A booth and file clerk, 72 and a half cents an hour.
72 and a half cents an hour.
I went home married. Went home with $35 a week. I lived within blocks of a place so I could walk to work. I graduated from blueprint file clerk to a specification writer, which is how to build farm equipment, combines and corn pickers.
I'm sorry, what kind of writer did you say?
Specification writer, so how to build the equipment on paper.
Okay.
And from there, I worked there for 13 years, but in the last 3 years of that, I graduated from assistant manager of specification writers to assistant manager of the Farm Department. We built some combines for Ford Motor Company, for farm equipment.
Oh, because he was doing tractors and things.
We did everything. We didn't do the tractors, but we did the farms, harvesting equipment in Battle Creek. So we built some Ford combines for the Ford Motor Company, and we built five for them and two for us at the same price. And I was experimental assistant at that time because the original supervisor quit and went to Ford. then Oliver closed, and I came to Lansing for Diamond Reel. When Bob Bergruff came from Oliver, he came up here and he said, "That's a good place to work. Come up and see me."
I'm sorry, Bob?
Robert Burggraf. He was...
Burggraf?
Burggraf. He was the personnel manager at the time.
Oh. B-U-R-G-R-A-F-T, something like
A-F-F,
that?
F-F, I think.
Huh?
Double F, I think.
Okay.
F-I-T. And from there, Bob went to the Mack Truck in Allentown, Pennsylvania, as a finance officer. He was an attorney. When he came from Charles City to Battle Creek, he came to Battle Creek as a personnel manager, and he came back here as a personnel manager as Diamond Reel. Anyway, I worked for Diamond Reel for 13 years. I worked for Oliver for 13 years. And when I come to Lansing for Diamond Reel, I started in the PEC, the engineering for a military vehicle.
Engineering?
For the military vehicles.
Front and military vehicle.
Yeah, it's for the military only.
For the military
trucks. Yeah. And at that time, there I was set up some standards for the military hardware, which they had a lot of stuff in there, including stuff for outer space, which they didn't need on the truck.
Outer space?
Just like that. They talk about the stool for the bathroom and the hammers that cost so much money. That's the same kind of stuff that was in the truck. It didn't need to be.
Huh.
Anyway, I left there in military engineering, and I met Bob Cavista, which is an engineering assistant.
The reason I'm asking is somebody's going to type this later from what they hear. So I'm sorry, Bob.
Cavista. He was from
To Vista.
Cavista K.
K.
And he went. I don't know how it's called. But anyway, he was from Diamond T out of Chicago.
Okay.
And he put me in the specification department for their truck, and from there they were setting up the truck on IBM computers. Computer-wise, everything on Paris.
Oh, really? When would that have been, do you think?
Well, the last 3 years of that.
So that would be 73, 4, 5, something like that?
Yeah, they didn't get it all on.
But they were working with computers.
They were working on it, yeah. They were working, and it was in a card form. It wasn't in the stuff, the form now on paper and stuff like that. Just in a little card form.
Cards.
Yeah. And then Diamond Reel closed, and I waited for, 6 months, almost 9 months of the year. At the end of the year, I think I had to go to work if they weren't going to open again. So from there, I went to Mack Western, which was Allentown, or not Allentown, Hayward, California, on the bay. And I worked there for 6 months, and less than 6 months, like 3 months. And my wife was going to come out for holiday, and she decided she didn't want to go.
Didn't want it out there?
No. And so she backed her around, came back home, went to work for CATA. I went to CATA bus. I worked CATA bus for 17 years and retired.
Did you?
Yeah. And that's it.
And so while you were at Rio, you hired in, what year do you think, the first time?
Probably 63. I had an in 63,
63 maybe.
60,
yeah. And they put you right in the engineering?
Yeah, that was my background to start with anyway.
For the military trucks?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you remember who you worked with or who you worked for or how much you made?
Osborne was the chief in that area.
Osborne.
And Bud Felton was his assistant.
Bud?
Felton. He died also recently.
I guess I didn't get the last
Felton,
name.
Pelton.
Oh, Pelton, I'm sorry. Okay.
And then I went to the other engineering, the specifications, in the IBM.
Specifications?
Yeah. And that's where they were putting the stuff on cards.
Hmm. Like the old punch cards, huh?
It was the old punch cards, right.
And what did you do when you were an engineer working on the military trucks? What were you in charge of doing?
Nothing, just setting up the books.
Just
books of stuff that you use.
Setting up books?
Yeah, a standard hardware book for the military engineering. Like I said, they had stuff in there that was used in aerospace and they didn't need in the truck.
Would that have been, the books you're talking about, would that have been like catalogs?
Just like this, yeah.
Like a loose-leaf notebook?
Yep. And the stuff. See, the military originally was set up for MS, which are military standards, and TACSI, which was the TACSI, was the actual TACSI specifications of automobiles, which were used in the trucks as well. It was high-class good stuff. And that was part of the military engineering.
So they wanted the best material on the military trucks.
Yep.
And then they wanted things that they couldn't even use.
Well, they had this. They could use it, but it was so expensive they didn't need it.
Oh.
In the military truck.
So, this is interesting. So all these trucks were military trucks were put out with stuff on that.
Well, for instance, they probably had a titanium screw in the instrument panel, which was made for outer space, and they didn't need it in the truck.
Just a regular.
It's the right threads and right everything, so they use it, but they didn't really need that.
Oh, they could have done with something cheaper.
Yeah, they didn't need an expensive hammer or an expensive toilet seat. That's what they wanted.
A hammer tucked inside the toilet seat.
Well, no, those are the things that you hear about that cost so much money for the military.
Yeah, I see. Well, you're comparing it. Right, okay.
No,
yeah.
that screw probably cost 40 cents when you bought a standard one, it only cost you like 1/10 of a cent.
Don't remember any other things that were...
No, that was a big thing. What they really needed was the people would go to the catalogs and pick out something they didn't really need and couldn't really use, but it was the right dimensions, so they put it in.
So they'd use it anyway.
And that was wrong. So they could go back and look further in the catalogs and find the right stuff.
But they didn't want to do that?
They didn't know.
Too much trouble.
Yeah. It's like buying out of the Sears catalog. There's a lot of stuff that you don't need at all.
Nothing changes, does
no.
it? So then you went from engineering military trucks into specifications, did you say?
Yep, it's the same.
And what is that? What did you do there?
That was the same thing, rating how to build a truck. Yep. They had an order for a truck, and the truck says they need some new gauges, different type gauges, manual gauges, and you have to take the old gauges out and put the new gauges in, and you have so much wiring stuff to go with it to put it in, and you have to take that out of the paper and put it into the paper, and then it goes into the building.
Hmm.
And that's doing it paper-wise, building a truck by paper.
Yeah. You're building a truck by paper.
Yeah.
Figure it all out on paper first.
Yep.
Like a pattern.
Yep. The same if there's stuff required, like additional dryers on the frame, you need additional holes in the frame to hold the dryers.
To hold the what?
The dryers. Dryers. The air. Dryers. To hold the dry air, keep the water out of the system.
If the truck is going through a big muddy hole or something?
Well, no. The air brakes, it collects air occasionally and collects water, and that dryer takes that water out of it.
Oh, out of the brakes?
Yeah. So they curled up. know all kinds of things. Whatever he thinks differently, you have to know what to put in. And then usually you send it to engineering, they come back, or if they haven't, if we've done it before, we research the papers and find it again and do it again.
Hmm. So a military truck's a lot different than a commercial truck, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, the things they need.
No, the military is a set standard. You don't change it at all unless you get the approval from the Detroit Arsenal.
Oh, Detroit Arsenal. They were the...
Detroit Arsenal sent their military people in to see us all the time for the minor changes like that.
Oh, they did. So they were in and out all the time.
All the time, right?
Officers, I imagine.
Yeah. Lieutenant Pruitt.
Lieutenant Pruitt.
Yeah.
Oh. So let me see, besides that, on the air situation there for the brakes and that, did the military trucks, did they have, I don't know, I'm guessing here, heavier metal or extra?
We didn't do a lot of that on military. The military was already re-engineered, so that was just paper. So the paper together to send out for bids, and that was all we really did there and keep the engineering paper up to date. On the military, we couldn't do a lot with that. That was already done.
Already done.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of... what do I want to ask her? Were you that one or two shifts, were you running one or two shifts or
no,
just one?
Always work one shift, but
always
a lot of overtime.
A lot of overtime?
Yeah.
Well, that came in handy, didn't it?
Well, the wage wasn't that good, but the handy part came with the overtime.
Mm. How much did you make, do you think, when you were working there in engineering?
Oh, dear. Probably $12 at the most.
An hour?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what kind of benefits did you have?
We had all kinds of benefits, good benefits. We, of course, we couldn't use them, everything. I was healthy and good teeth, good health, good everything.
So, good health, hospitalization and that?
Yeah, they had everything, yeah. And dental, the whole...
Oh, you had dental? Vision, I suppose?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Wow, that's great.
We had it all, but when I went to cattle, we had it all also. But when you retire, you don't get it all.
Now, how long were you there at Rio, did you say? You left when?
13 years.
You were there until it closed?
Yeah. It closed by February, and I went out of work until the end of the year, and then I finally went to work for Mactrack Western.
Mm. You could see the end coming, could you?
They told me to go to CATA. A lot of people go to Clara Floggins, like I went to CATA. And they told me to go to CATA with like Barb Wingo, Barb Stone at the time. And she said, come and we'll go to work at CATA.
I'm sorry, Barbara...
Stone, at that time it was.
Stoneman?
Stone, S-T-O-N-E.
Oh,
Bonnie
just Stone.
Bonnie Stone was the Secretary of the Union.
She was the Secretary of the Union?
No, because her husband was.
Her husband was the Secretary. Oh, okay.
So she wanted me to go work at CATA. I said, no, I'm going to wait. They're going to open yet. She said, no, they're not. So finally, I got a call from... the chief engineer at that time, and he went to California, and he called me up and he says, I got a job for you. So I went out there to work for him, and it was 6 weeks, and my wife didn't want to go, so now he came back.
You mentioned Claire Laudenslager. I hear his name quite often from, you know, over the years. Seems like his name pops up. He was the general manager of the whole plant?
Of Diamond Rio. Yeah.
Of Diamond Rio.
And then he went out to CATA as the actuary.
Right. So you worked with him sometimes?
Very little. Very little. No, he comes here one time and Arnold Schubert put his foot on my desk and you've got to get this paper out quickly. And I couldn't do it. He was a 6 foot tall man.
Claire was?
Yeah, no. Arnold Schubert was the chief engineer at the time. Chief engineer at the time. But Claire came through and when they showed the place a lot, and he always well dressed and well taken care of.
Yeah, I understood he always wore a shirt and tie.
Always wore a shirt and tie. But he never come. He used to meet us when in 76, 77, when we were driving the bus and they were loaded all the time. 100 people on the bus would go to the Meridian Wall. He'd out there meet you, he said, I'm going to get you some help. I'm going to get you some help. The bus is loaded anyway. And he finally did get some more help. More buses a long time ago, but he was always with us. He'd come in our driver's room, which is right here. This is our place where I started to work. And he'd come down here and sit in our driver's room with us and talk to us and everything else.
He did?
Yeah.
So I know this museum was the CATA bus garage.
Yep.
And So the buses were they housed around here or just here for repair?
No, they were here. The inside, actually, inside back.
Oh, the buses were inside?
Inside, actually, yeah. Oh. And then graduates inside and the officers inside. And this probably was the officer wasn't good at all. This was kind of run down when they fixed it up.
But the office was block was kind of where it is now?
Exactly. Everything was right here where we were.
So we really haven't... We've cosmetically changed. But
oh, yeah, you've got a lot of changes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been, a lot of times I'd come to work in the wintertime and, or springtime, we'd leave the water in the garage.
On the from the roof?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got roof leaks all the time. Anyway.
Oh. Yeah. We've had some tremendous roof leaks here.
Oh, yeah.
Fortunately, we have a new roof now.
Yeah.
But where all those different additions meet,
yeah.
And the roof levels are different?
Troubles all the time.
Yeah, we've had some floods years ago.
Oh, yeah.
In the 80s, we had floods. And Sandy Dragoo, who is now, as you know, director of CATA, was telling me about the rats.
Always, yeah. The girls were scared of the rats, and they were always here.
They'd scurry through the building, huh?
Yeah. Gosh, Sandy talked about those rats a lot. In this part of the building, where they were. But, yeah, Sandy was a great leader. And she took it from Claire.
Mm-hmm. And she speaks very highly of him.
Oh, yeah.
Of his
of course he probably drank a lot too, but that didn't matter.
Seems like just about everybody that worked for Rio, but and my mother and dad worked there. My dad went to Fisher early on, but my mother was there. And every so often, she'd come home and you'd say,
oh,
"What?
Sure.
This is what happened today at work," and I almost always heard his name.
Yeah.
When something was going on, you know, I'd hear his name. And being a kid, I didn't connect it with anything, but now that I'm hearing these different interviews from different folks, his name still pops up the time.
Yeah.
He impacted everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Sandy was telling me a story about how strict he was with wearing, for his men to wear a tie.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you had to wear a tie certain months out of the year. You didn't get out of it until like in the fall, or after you had to get in like in September, October, and you had to run that through spring. You started to sweat and then you'd take your tie off.
Well, it was okay to do it then?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, so many months you'd take your tie off and wear a different shirt. Your shirt says shirts. Anything else you couldn't. And you had to wear. I still got black or browns or black and blue socks. You have to wear them all the time also.
Oh, black and blue socks?
Black or
dark
blue.
Socks?
Dark socks, yeah.
Shirt and tie,
shirt
jacket.
And tie, yeah.
Hmm.
Standard stuff. Which is right. There's a lot of people that they hired couldn't afford the right socks, couldn't afford great shoes, you know, anything like that. But when they hired them, they put them in a uniform and they stayed in that uniform.
Oh, that was provided?
That was part, yeah. The socks weren't, but the pants and the shirts were.
Oh, they were?
Yep.
Oh.
Even a winter jacket. Winter jacket.
Oh, I see. We're not talking about a suit coat jacket. We're talking about a winter jacket you'd zip up.
Winter jacket. And it also had a blazer. You could get a blazer as well.
You could have a blazer, too.
Yeah. They provided good stuff. Mm.
The Rio Clubhouse was still there. Did you have any family activities there?
No, my family was in Vail Creek. I drove for 2 years working here. And then when they finally came here, I was working so much time I didn't have a lot of family activities.
Mm. It was too bad when they tore it down.
Oh, yeah. They've improved a lot down there now. There's a lot of stuff there now.
Yeah, that's true. At least a lot's being used. It's been cleaned up and... let's see if you didn't really take part in this. One of my questions usually is, can you remember anything that happened that was funny, kind of out of the ordinary, or maybe not so funny?
No. No, everything was all work and all.
Okay. Looking back on it now, what's your impression of Rio Motor Car Company? What kind of a place was it to work?
It was good. It had good equipment. It had good engineering in their equipment.
Oh.
It was well done. Well, as good as General Motors were and Oldsmobile as well. But it was done great. Didn't have a lot of shortcomings in it or anything like that. Everything was built good.
So the machinery was pretty up to date?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know the money wasn't coming in, and some parts of the building were so old, I didn't know about the machinery.
Oh, no.
That was getting pretty old, too. Or?
Oh, sure. Claire wouldn't let them paint. He kept painters on the job, but he wouldn't let them paint because he didn't have the money to buy the paint. So he just kept them there anyway. Of course, we had a painter that was drinking all the time in the ovens, but that didn't work either.
Ovens?
Yeah, he couldn't find the booze, so they finally did. They were drinking it in the ovens.
Oh, where they would
dry the paint.
Where the paint would dry on the vehicle.
Yeah. but he couldn't find them, so he couldn't test them. No, it was a good place to work and good people.
Did you make out all right afterwards? I know the pension fund had been raided. And
I got that money finally.
You did finally get some?
Sure, I got a lot of money.
Did you? Good.
Yeah, I got a lot of money. All my money back, and I reinvested it, and I'm using it today.
Good. Oh, that's wonderful. Because I know some people didn't.
A lot of people didn't.
Yeah.
And a lot of people took over 10 years to get any, and then they got very little.
10 years and then very little.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not good. Well, I guess I can't think of anything else unless I've missed some things that you'd like to share.
No, that's my life.
Okay.
You got it all.
So you were glad you worked there?
Oh, yeah.
Proud of your part in making the military vehicles?
Yeah, everything that I did, I worked for, was good stuff all the way along.
So you had job satisfaction?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever work on civilian trucks when the military contracts had run out?
Oh, yeah, we did the paperwork on the military. That's when the dryers and stuff came in. You had to do that. Not on the military, because you couldn't test the military, but you could test commercial.
Oh, because things could be changed there.
You can order different on the commercial truck. Right? It was fun. It was a good experience. Part of my life.
A good part.
Yeah.
And you were able to raise your family and...
Pretty well, yeah.
On which you made it real.
Yeah. You know, my kids didn't have a lot of clothes and stuff, but they had the changes every day and everything worked out fine. I'm happy with it.
I think my mother enjoyed her years there too.
Oh yeah. Everybody was good, you know.
She started during the war when the men were gone.
Oh, sure.
In the service, you know, and she stayed on. And after the war, there were all these strikes, I remember.
Oh, sure.
Coal strike, steel strike, railroad strike, yeah. I don't know what all. And I imagine there was a space of time before the military contract started rolling in.
We had some good military stuff. Before, even today, we had a military truck that had individual drive to each and every wheel. I mean, pneumatics driven to each and every wheel. You could spin this wheel and shut it off and go to this one.
Really?
And to the front one as well. That was part of the last engineering stuff we had. We were doing that kind of engineering stuff. And that's in the military truck today.
It is?
Yeah.
So, say if a military truck got stuck in something?
Got stuck and one wheel was off the ground, the other wheel could take over.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's just like...
Yeah, like a car like that.
It's just like your four-wheel drive right now.
Oh, is that basically what four-wheel drive is?
Yeah.
See how much I know.
Yeah. But that was part of the last military we had.
You weren't part of any of the test driving?
No.
They took something out and brought it back?
No.
No,
I didn't get out of the office, hardly.
Okay. Well, gosh, I thank you very much, Bill.
Okay.
Appreciate your sharing your Rio days with us.
Yeah,